When I was a young mother, one of the great parenting strategies I learned early on is the art of distraction. It's also coming in very handy now that I'm a grandmother. So the idea is that if the baby reaches for something that you don't want them to have, such as a sharp object or an electrical cord or your iPhone, you remove it so they can't reach it and you distract them with something else. It may be a toy or a game, or maybe you sing a song, really whatever you can come up with in the moment to redirect their attention. And voila, it works. That baby or child completely forgets about what it is they were after. But we all have this ability to shift the attention of a baby or a small child from what is good, what is not good for them, to what is good for them. But do we have the same ability to do that for ourselves? You see, our spiritual work is all about mindfulness. And so the question becomes, can we consciously choose where we place our attention? How do we do that? And how can we learn to purposefully decide what we are going to focus on and what we are not going to focus on? Well, of course we can do these things. And one of the ways in which we can go about it is by using what is called the golden key. Well, the golden key is actually the name of an essay, a classic essay, that was written by a very well-known and actually great New Thought spiritual leader and author named Emmett Fox. And he wrote this little, just a couple of pages, this little pamphlet, and it was translated into all different languages, and millions of copies were sold around the world. Well, in this little essay, Emmett Fox offers up a formula for how to overcome any difficulty in your life. Any difficulty at all, of any kind. He says this is the golden key to happiness and harmony. Would you like to know what it is? In his essay, Emmett Fox says, all you have to do is this. Stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is. And think about God instead. This is the complete rule, and if only you will do this, the trouble, whatever it is, will disappear. It makes no difference what kind of trouble it is. It may be a big thing or a little thing. It may concern health, finance, a lawsuit, a quarrel, an accident, or anything else conceivable. But whatever it is, stop thinking about it. And think of God instead. That is all you have to do. That is all you have to do. Well, I expect having said that, you're having one of two reactions now. And the first one is, really, is that it? Is that the whole thing? What else have you got for me here? Well, it is deceptively simple. But I ask you to just stay with me on this, because there's some great wisdom here. And your second reaction may very well be, I'm not even sure who or what I think God is. You may even be thinking, I'm not even sure I believe God exists. So how am I supposed to think about him or her or it or whatever? Well, I invite you to reframe that a little bit. You know, in Unity, we do not teach that God is a being, a super being up in the sky. I mean, you're certainly welcome to believe that if you wish, but we teach that God is infinite, that God is everywhere present, that God is in you and in me and in all of life. And so rather than trying to conjure up a portrait in your mind of God, rather think about anything or everything you associate with God. And if that word God is a trigger for you, as it is for many people, you have some baggage around that, or that brings back something that you'd rather not think about, well, come up with your own word. Whatever it might be, whatever describes for you the realm beyond this one, that higher reality, it could be spirit, it could be infinite mind, the ground of all being. the oneness of all of life, that which cannot be named, the great mystery. Whatever way you think about it, let this be your sort of higher idea. And then as you find yourself getting mired in some kind of difficulty or trouble or problem in your life, consciously shift your attention to that higher idea. You can do this. Shift over to it, and perhaps you would like to ponder and appreciate the qualities and the wonders and the mystery of the infinite. And take a moment to even just marvel at the unknown. Like, how did we all get here? How are we all connected? Take a moment to appreciate that you are an expression of God. How wondrous is that? The workings of your own physical body and your mind. To shift over into that place of awe, and as it said in our daily word today, which is so perfectly timed, synchronicity, let go. Let go and let God. Let go into divine love, divine wisdom, divine order. And know that there is something much greater playing out in this life of ours. And Emmett Fox says there's only one rule here, and the rule is that you must stop thinking about the difficulty. Because if you're thinking about the difficulty, you're not thinking about God. And so anytime we find ourselves slipping back into a place of worry or fear or doubt, we can just gently return our attention to the infinite wonder of life. So this is very similar to what we do in meditation, is it not? The same kind of an idea. We set something as being our preferred point of focus. It could be a mantra. It could be the word Om. It could be our breath. We might be paying attention to our own inner body. It's a form of meditation like that. Friday, as we watched that wonderful film about Paramahansa Yogananda, we did a meditation where we focused our attention here on the center of our forehead. Whatever it is, you decide your focal point, and you can concentrate on that. And as your mind wanders, as it inevitably does, you just gently bring it back to that point of focus over and over and over again. This is your spiritual practice. And as you are doing this, you are strengthening your connection with the divine. You are, in fact, building within yourself a spiritual home, the place within you where you find God. Later, when you go back to your everyday life, you may well find that your earthly concerns now seem very small, very easy to deal with, and they may even be gone altogether. You, in fact, have been, in your own way, thinking about God. Well, this is similar to what I do in my heart math practice, which has become, for me, a very powerful means of actually meditation. And I'm not saying it's, you know, the end-all, be-all, but for me, it really has given me that mechanism by which I connect with something bigger than myself. And that's not necessarily part of the instruction for heart math. I'm excited to share that next week. You'll get to learn a whole lot more about it because I'll be interviewing Sandy Travis. Wave your hand there, Sandy. She's my heart math instructor and executive coach. And we'll be talking about what heart math is or isn't, what it means to get into a state of coherence, which is really alignment, and how that can change your life. She'll be doing a workshop on heart math as well. For me, what happens as I begin to focus on my heart and my breathing is that I seem to automatically be lifted up to a higher level of being, of consciousness. And it's a beautiful thing. I've come to really enjoy the ride. And what happens when I get up into that realm is that, you know, I just explore it a little bit. I commune with Jesus and Mary Magdalene and the sages who have come before us. Sometimes I talk to my mom, who passed away a few years ago. Sometimes I just allow myself to feel the presence of friends and family members who have passed on. Other times I take like a 30,000-foot flight, looking over my life and just feeling an incredible sense of awe, the magnificence. The beauty of the life I've had the privilege to live, and all that is still ahead, and all that is unfolding, and the incredible blessings that pour into my life every day, the each and every one of you being one of those blessings. It completely shifts my perspective. My cup runneth over. I feel filled up with gratitude. And then when I come out from that experience, I feel different and I see differently. I'm sure you've had something like this where you've had some kind of sacred or maybe even mystical experience, and then you look around and life looks particularly sweet and dear, does it not? Well, I'm convinced this is the kind of shift in consciousness that Jesus wanted us to make. He wanted us to really be able to see from that larger perspective. And so consider for a moment that in the times he was living, that the people he was speaking to were pretty much seeing through eyes of despair and hopelessness, that what they were witnessing in their own lives was oppression and injustice, frustration, feeling like victims. Jesus, in that very same situation, saw the kingdom of heaven. He saw the kingdom of God. He saw the shining, beautiful divinity in all of life. And he wanted other people to see it as well, and I believe he wants us to see it. It was as if he was saying, open your eyes. Behold the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Take a moment to appreciate the extraordinary gifts of this precious life. And to even wonder at the immense power within you, your own ability to change your life through your faith, to make yourself healed and whole, to completely shift your consciousness. Think on these things. It was as if he was saying, don't think about your problems. Think about God. You see, what we focus on matters, because what we focus on and what we choose to think about grows. You see, anything we put attention on, it's like we are feeding it. And so whether it's a positive thought or a negative thought, if we're holding it and we're continuing to exercise that thought, it begins to grow in power, does it not? You've experienced this, and if you keep at it, pretty much that's your whole world and that's all you can see. Well, similarly, if we withdraw our attention from it, if we don't indulge in going over and over that thought or overworking it, we find that it begins to shrink. Begins to disappear, very much the way if you have your arm or leg in a cast for a period of several weeks, when you take the cast off, it's atrophied because it hasn't been used. Well, the same is true for your thought process. If you don't keep giving power to that thought, it gets weaker, it diminishes, and after a while you're thinking, God, I don't even remember that. Like, what was all that about? You see, you have really just let it go. It may not even seem relevant to you anymore. So the golden key is about being very mindful about what we choose to expand in our consciousness, the thoughts we want to have grow, and removing our energy and our attention from those that we don't want to grow. And we can do this in our own lives on a daily basis. We can learn to sort of exercise that muscle and remember that we always have a choice. I'm not necessarily saying that it's easy, but we can learn to make it easier and easier. And we are really seizing control of our own mind and our own reality when we do. Emmett Fox says this so plainly. He talks about the power of where you place your attention, and so if you haven't gotten the message yet, you're going to get it now. He says this: the more you think about your indigestion or your arthritis, the worse it will get. The more you think of yourself as healthy and well, the healthier your body will be. The more you think about lack, hardship, bad luck, etc., the more of it you will have. And the more you think of prosperity, abundance, and success, the more of it you will experience. The more you think about the grievances or injustices you have suffered, the more you will experience such trials, and the more you appreciate your good fortune, the more of it you will attract. In Unity, we call this the law of mind action. We say what we think about, we bring about. What we appreciate, appreciates. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And so the golden key is just this fine-tuning mechanism for being aware of what we are putting into our consciousness, knowing what the results will be. So to use this golden key requires two things. First, we must be willing to stop thinking about our difficulty. And the second, we must be willing to think about God. Now that first one can be a little more difficult than, difficult to let go of our difficulty. You know, we talk about our troubles and so often we think, oh, if these would just go away. But in truth, if we're honest, quite often we're kind of attached to them. It becomes our story. It's what we usually say. It's what we talk about. It's what makes our life interesting. It's as if we are chained to them, right? Kind of like an old friend. This is, I've been carrying this around. At least it's familiar. We're chained to it. Meanwhile, we're carrying the key to unlock that chain and free ourselves all the time. What keeps us from using that key to liberate ourselves is a sense that we don't know who we'll be without it. If this has been our story, well, who am I without that? And that's why the second part of the golden key is so, so important. So we don't just stop thinking, stop being attached to the old thinking. We actually move into an awareness of God. We're really switching from our ego self to our higher self, like changing channels. Very important. It's much easier to let go of something when you're moving into something new, correct? And so this is how we activate it. This is how we activate the golden key in our lives. And the key in all of it, what I think is actually the key to all of our spiritual growth is awareness. You see, we couldn't make the shift from ego to higher self if we weren't aware, right? Awareness means that you're paying attention to what you're thinking and doing. You're not just mindlessly going through life on autopilot. And so when we become aware, we are activating our inner observer. Your inner observer is, you know, not necessarily the running commentary in your head, but it is your higher self. It is this higher wisdom within you. Sometimes you listen to it, sometimes you don't. But it's there. And you have it within you, whether you realize it or not. And if you doubt that, I invite you to think of any time in your life when you resolved to be on your best behavior for certain people. Maybe it's the in-laws, maybe it was a job interview, whatever it was. Or when you said, I better watch my language in front of the kids. You were activating your inner observer, right? Your inner observer is now going to be that place that you go to before you think or before you speak or act, where, okay, let me just consider what I might really want to say or do in this situation. That little pause is where we find our freedom. That little pause is where we find the ability to make a different choice and to very intentionally live our lives. Activate your inner observer and see where you may be creating your own suffering. You see, the golden key is simple, although not necessarily easy, and so I appreciate the fact that as you go out and put it to use, that it may feel like a challenge. And so I've got a few statements of absolute truth that you can turn to help you turn your thoughts to the higher realm. You just wanted to do that again, didn't you? Why waste a perfectly good drum roll? So what I'm going to say, I'm going to read each of these, and after I read it, invite you to say it in unison behind me, okay? So now, a couple of caveats. These are all worded with God in there. That doesn't mean you have to use it that way. Substitute your own word, infinite mind, spirit, mother nature, whatever it is, okay? There is no power but God. Together. Now, when you say these, I want you to really feel it. I want you to really mean it and connect with it, okay? I am filled with the perfect peace of God. Together.
I am filled with the perfect peace of God.
God is greater than any challenge.
God is greater than any challenge.
God is love.
God is guiding me now.
God is with me. And let's speak this last one together.
The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. And the presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is. And all is one. You know this. You can use these at any time. Make it your go-to thoughts in any situation. Emmett Fox says you can even make it a practice to golden key other people. He says if you're having difficulty with John or Mary, say to yourself, I'm now going to golden key John or Mary. And then you proceed to put any thought of them completely out of your mind. You really just totally let it go. You know, you're not changing a situation, but you are changing you. And in fact, you may actually send out a ripple of good that benefits them as well. So I invite you to use the golden key to become more conscious about where you place your attention and where you don't, about what you choose to think and what you choose to not think about. This is a powerful, powerful transformational tool right here in your hands. Give yourself that gift as you think about the divine, of marveling at this universe, at marveling at the energy we create and share in this very sanctuary, at the way in which things seem to work out in your life, at the love that you feel on such a deep level sometimes that it completely overwhelms you. Marvel at the beautiful intricacies of life you could just barely fathom. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you. Let's prepare now for a meditation. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath in. Release and let go. One more time, breathe in deeply the beautiful spirit energy that enlivens every aspect of our being. And let go into love. I invite you to make that journey in your own being from your head to your heart. Imagine for a moment breathing in and out through your heart space. And begin to feel yourself being aware of and lifted into a very peaceful place. This higher realm where you are so precious, so loved, where all of the universe is pulling for you. Breathe into it. And from the center within you of energy and your own power and your own heart and mind, I invite you to imagine abandoning, letting go of any worries or concerns or fears you might be harboring. Imagine yourself just, even if just for this moment, releasing them. Letting go, letting go, letting go, stripping away all of these outer things and coming home to that divine light, that is the truth of you. I invite you to feel the warmth and the love of Spirit moving through every aspect of your being, your precious, beautiful soul. And attune yourself to what is yours to witness and to hear in the silence. We feel a quickening within us as we allow this beautiful divine energy to grow within us. We're so grateful, sweet spirit, infinite mind, oneness of all being, creator of all that is. We're so grateful for this marvelous adventure called life, for the many, many gifts that we've been given, for all that is ahead, and for the rediscovery of joy and peace as we go forward to more fully express it. Thank you, sweet spirit, and so it is. Amen.